Lord God, our Father, open your word to our hearts and our hearts to your word, and give us grace to receive it, to understand it, and to obey it for the glory of Christ our Lord. Amen. Do be seated. Well, I'm delighted to have the opportunity again to be back here with you in the Ascension, and to be here in partnership with Matthew leading the service is a double joy. Lovely too that you began the service today with those words from Psalm 139, because when we at All Saints went off on our church weekend to Pilgrim Hall, Psalm 139 was the psalm around which we based the talks that we had. So that's lovely to start in that way today. Your heart rate increases, your blood pressure rises, levels of adrenaline and noradrenaline go up, your breathing becomes faster, your sympathetic nervous system diverts blood away from your liver, stomach and intestines to your heart, muscles and central nervous system. Well, if that happens to you, that could be indicative that you're suffering a bout of anger. Those are amongst the physiological responses when people feel angry about something. Useful, perhaps, as a short-term emergency reaction, but occurring frequently, anger is a state of arousal that will put your body under great strain. But it's not just the impact that anger can have on your health. It can also do serious damage to relationships and even dramatically change your circumstances and the course of your life. That was certainly, wasn't it, true for Cain and Abel. Cain, angry that Abel found favor with God while he didn't, plotted and schemed and then carried out a fiendish plan, the result of which was that Abel's life was cut short and Cain came under a curse which resulted in his life becoming much, much tougher. Described as an emotion, anger is seen to be at times a useful flight or fight reaction to a situation. But as we study our Bibles, we find that more often than not, anger is spoken of as something to be wary of. As someone has said, anger is just one letter short of danger. All human beings are capable of feeling angry, even those who may usually present as being very placid and gentle. Once aroused to anger, they are likely to do, or indeed to say, what they would not otherwise normally do or say. Proverbs 29:11 tells us that a fool gives full vent to his anger, but a wise man keeps himself under control. This short wise saying would suggest two things. Firstly, that anger of itself is not necessarily wrong and is, as I said a moment ago, something that everyone will experience at certain times to some degree or another, but that it is an emotion, a powerful emotion, that needs to be kept carefully in check if we are to avoid the negative situations that anger can otherwise so readily lead to. If not carefully controlled, then, as Proverbs 30:33 warns, things can escalate in very unhelpful ways, as churning the milk produces butter, as twisting the nose, wonderfully graphical sort of proverb, as twisting the nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife. There's even, isn't there, that sort of slightly comical situation that you can sometimes find yourself saying or seeing others saying, you're stirring again. Well, it's that verse, perhaps, that's in mind. Stirring up anger produces strife. Just think for a moment, when was it that you were last angry? What caused your anger? How did you handle your anger? What was the result of your having been aroused to anger? Did it produce a result that you felt comfortable with? Maybe even that you'd scored a success over somebody else? Or did you feel somewhat ashamed afterwards? The University of Cambridge Student and Staff Counselling Service, sorry to quote the wrong university there, Matthew, has available what are described as self-help leaflets on common problems, including, not surprisingly, one on the subject of anger. It tells us that everyone has angry feelings from time to time. Anger is a normal adaptive emotion and not in itself a problem. It is the behavioural response to anger that determines whether or not it is dysfunctional or problematic. So it identifies the insecurity that can result from having to face an unexpected or unwelcome change as being a frequent trigger to anger. If you think back to those situations where you felt angry, it may well be that you suddenly found something unexpected, some change, some situation that caught you off guard, that prompted that reaction of anger. I had an example of that just a few days ago, when I went to an outpatient's department at a hospital I had never been to before, some distance away. When I arrived with time to spare before my appointment, disconcertingly, they couldn't find my name on the list. Looking at the referral letter, the receptionist then said, "You've come to the wrong hospital." I pointed out that I had come there because that was the address given on the letter. She looked at it more closely and agreed that I was right, but confirmed that my appointment was at a hospital a few miles further on and that the person who'd written the letter had put the wrong address on it. As I went back to my car, conscious that I had paid for the car park, I would have to then move on very quickly to find another place somewhere else in another car park, I couldn't but help feel a slight sense of irritation. Uncertainty had been aroused. I was in the wrong place. Would they be expecting me at the other place? Would I arrive in time? Would I find somewhere to park? How could someone have been so silly as to put the wrong address on the letter? Do you recognize the symptoms, that sort of mounting irritation? Well, in Ecclesiastes 7:9, we're advised, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit. For anger resides in the lap of fools. This would suggest that, pushed far enough, everyone can, as the saying goes, lose it. And that we therefore need to be aware of the factors that might make us less able to keep our anger in check. The advice leaflet I referred to earlier mentions a range of things that can increase our vulnerability to succumbing to anger in an unhelpful way. They are overtiredness, hunger, sexual frustration, hormonal changes due to puberty, premenstruation, menopause and childbirth, physical craving for addictive substances such as alcohol, nicotine, caffeine or other drugs, intoxication, physical illness, living with chronic or acute pain, dementia. Fortunately, not all of those were at work the other day when I was going to the hospital. The leaflet concludes, out of control, you're at the mercy of your anger. You need a new kind of relationship with your emotions, one where you run them instead of them running you. How then do we bring our emotions under control and keep that powerful emotion of anger in hand? Under the heading, Living as Children of Light, Paul speaks about anger in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. I want you to note three things in those two verses. First of all, the Bible accepts that Christians will feel angry at times. Second, anger needs to be managed, kept in check, and not allowed to linger and to eat into us. And third, failure to manage and limit it will open us up to the possibility of doing something that not only will we later regret, but that we will need to acknowledge and confess as having been sinful. Paul advised Titus how to counsel new Christians in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. Remind the people to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility toward all men. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceitful, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, He saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. When you feel anger rising up, try to pause and take stock. In other words, don't let it drive you, but you hold it in control. If you're inclined to say something, it's better to first listen to the other person before speaking your mind. If you're inclined to write in protest, better to write when you have calmed down and can express your concerns cogently rather than simply allow it to be an outpouring of anger. I find it very helpful to remind myself that the person towards whom I feel angry is just as much a creature of God as I am, loved by Him just as much, and no more likely to make a mistake, such as putting the wrong address on a letter, than I am. And at the end of the day, we live not to succeed by gaining the upper hand over someone who has angered us, but in order to inherit the blessings that are ours in Christ. Blessings that are ours, not because we deserve them, but because He graciously and freely gives them. You may wonder why the second reading, the reading of Jesus cleansing the temple. Cleansing it of money changers and of traders. Was this not an outbursting of rage with destructive consequences, totally out of character with the gentle Jesus, meek and mild image that so many have otherwise of Jesus? Actually, although we might feel that Jesus appears here to be angry, the gospel narratives don't mention the emotion anger as such. He was undoubtedly indignant about what was going on with expressing it as a righteous indignation that what God had intended as a place where people could come close to him had become a place where people profiteered by putting obstacles in the way of people coming to God. There is a place, you see, for appropriate action when something is clearly wrong and harmful. But the indignation needs to be directed against that wrong rather than, and the temptation always is, at the person or people causing it. And needs to be such as to right a wrong rather than create a further wrong. Let me finish by bringing you back to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we have yielded to him, then we are able to draw on the resources that he has to help us control our passions and direct our energies in such ways as to do good and to bring glory to him. I am, of course, referring, as you may have guessed, to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let's pray, shall we? Lord God, each of us here may well at times have lost our tempers and given vent unhelpfully to anger. Help us to distinguish between anger that needs to be brought under careful control and righteous anger that prompts us to take appropriate action to right a wrong. And give us that grace always to both control our anger and to right wrongs in a way that is honouring to you and helpful to others.